Morning, family. I'll tell you what, I can sense that in our audience this morning, we have some folks with an attitude, a good attitude, an attitude of worship, right? And that's always good to see and always good to be a part of, because God wants us to have good attitudes. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning and for the next 3 weeks after this morning. We're in the midst of a five-part sermon series that we started last week talking about your attitude and my attitude and everybody else in here. So today we're going to be moving on from talking about the consideration of your attitude, which we discussed last Sunday, to now talking about the construction or the building of your attitude. Now, I have a very convenient way for you to follow along with the lesson this morning. In the bulletin, we have a sermon outline there. And you can follow along and you can have your Bibles open to the text that we're going to be reading from this morning. We're going to be spending some time in Proverbs chapter 23 and Proverbs chapter, chapter 22. And so we'll be looking at several, but so have your Bibles ready. Have your outline there in the bulletin so you can follow along. So we started off this sermon series that I've entitled Adjusting Your Attitude. We started off last week by taking an imaginary plane ride. And I want to resume our flight this morning. Step into the cockpit. Remember we said last week when you get into the plane before you can get in the air, you got to get in the cockpit. And when we look at the instrument panel, we again saw last week that, see if I can do this again, there was an interesting little device there, one on each side for each of the pilot and the co-pilot. There's a little instrument there called the attitude indicator. Now, I think one of the kids at potluck, Wednesday night we had potluck after services, one of the kids said, "You meant to say altitude indicator, right?" No, I meant to say attitude. That's what it's called. It's an attitude indicator. Yes, it does indicate the altitude. But more than the altitude, really, it doesn't, well, it does have a, shows you like altitude as far as numbers, but it's really talking about the attitude of the plane as its nose is in a position either above the horizon or below the horizon. And so the pilot is constantly looking at this because he knows that when he sees the plane in either a nose high position or a nose down position, that is going to dictate the performance of the plane. And so that's where I'm making the parallel today with us as we try to fly through life. And sometimes we're really feeling that way, right? And we're zooming along. We want to make sure that we, to the best of our ability, look at the attitude indicator, which is our actions and our heart, and make sure that our plane is performing, our life is performing in such an attitude, an altitude that brings glory to God and that shows God to others around us. So that's kind of where I launched off with this series, and I want to resume our flight this morning. Now, we talked about last week the consideration of your attitude. I'm not going to go through all of this, but we talked about three questions. First of all, what is an attitude? Secondly, why are attitudes important? And thirdly, where do bad attitudes lead us? And so that was the consideration of your attitude. We said that an attitude is a state of mind that you have, a mindset that you have towards something. It is also an inward feeling that is sometimes expressed by outward expressions. For instance, as I said before, folded arms. And I meant to say last week, by the way, that folded arms doesn't always mean you have a bad attitude. Sometimes it's just cold in the room, you know. So, but we do show, those are attitude indicators, you see, that show the kind of attitude, show the performance of our plane when others are watching us. This is the attitude, what an attitude is. We also said an attitude is who you are in advance. So again, going back to the cross, folded arms like that, this is who I am in advance. This is telling somebody that in 5 minutes from now, or maybe hours from now, I'm going to be acting in a certain way. So it is who you are in advance. And we also talked about why an attitude is important. It determines your whole approach to life. It determines the quality of your relationships with other people. And we also said that your good attitude can actually turn burdens into blessings. And that leads into the last question there. Where do bad attitudes lead? We talked about how that wrong attitudes can block the blessings of God and cause you to live below God's potential for your life. Our attitude should allow us to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. And those are some of the things we talked about last week. Anyway, we covered all of that. Now, I want us to look outside of our airplane, and I want us to consider our atmosphere. Now, as you take a look outside the window of your plane, or if you're in the cockpit looking out and seeing the atmosphere that you're in, I want to kind of erase the whole image of the airplane from your mind. You deleted that page, okay? And now we're going to switch from the analogy of an airplane to the construction of a house. And I want to talk about the build. Yeah, he's laughing because I know nothing about constructing a house, right? But we're going to be talking about the building of your attitude. And we're going to be looking at the foundation that you have built already and maybe you're continuing to build. We're going to talk about the materials that you use and then the labor that you put into the construction of your attitude. So this is what we'll consider this morning. Let's first of all start with the foundation. There is a foundation. This is the attitude formation. This is how you've built whatever kind of attitude overall that you have now and maybe continuing to build on that foundation. You're doing certain things that will build the kind of attitude, hopefully, that God would want you to have. There are certain things in your life that have had a serious impact on you being who you are today as far as your attitude. Have you ever heard someone say that it's hard to soar with the eagles when you're hanging out with the turkeys? Or they say when you're gobbling with the turkeys, right? Hard to soar with the eagles when you're gobbling with the turkeys. Well, your surroundings have a lot to do with whether or not or how high you are going to soar as a child of God. Your upbringing, your influences, they have laid a foundation for the attitude that you have now and will continue to have throughout your life. Your upbringing and your influences. Now, thinking about this, let's look at each of these. I should go back. So we're going to be talking about the early years, your adolescence, your upbringing. We read that verse in part of the scripture reading. You read earlier in chapter 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. We'll talk about that, the upbringing. Then we're going to be talking about as you go a little further in life, you begin to associate with certain peers. Sometimes they're of your age as a child, sometimes a little older. We'll talk about that. And then finally, we'll talk about how you need to, and I especially encourage this, we'll talk about this later, of children associating with and being around more adults than they are around children. That may sound a little strange, but stay with me. I'll show you what we'll do with that. But let's talk about the foundation. First of all, your adolescence or your your upbringing. So again, let's look at the verse together. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We should probably look at some preliminary things here. First of all, you have to understand this is not a promise or a guarantee in Scripture. It is not you could say, well, look, I thought I brought my child up, but look what happened to my child, you know? This is actually a principle, not a promise in Scripture. It is a principle that generally speaking, if you do a really, really good job of training up your child, more than likely he is going to, even if he does depart from it, he will come back. That is a principle that is taught in other passages as well throughout the book of Proverbs. But as far as our attitude is concerned, When I think about our attitude formation, I want you to know that parenting is absolutely the most important job you will ever have. Do you believe that? It really is. Now, not all of us are going to have children. But if we do have children, God has placed within your stewardship and your care precious souls. Noah understood that because although he couldn't reach the world, what did he do? He reached his family. He reached his sons and their wives and hopefully generations after that. But what we're seeing is that parenting is extremely an important endeavor. It is the most important occupation in the world. Now, as far as attitude is concerned, a child's formative years are absolutely crucial in their spiritual journey in life. Do you realize that? Very important. These formative years, attitudes that they embrace as children, they usually embrace as adults. Attitudes that we form early in life, they become part of us. They are ingrained in us. They become almost part of our DNA. They become who we are. And so whether good or bad, those attitudes that you put into your child, they are very, very difficult to change. So when you're a parent, you take that job very seriously. You understand that you are putting some permanent imprints on that child that later on are either going to be impossible or almost impossible for them to change if they were not good attitudes that you instilled within them. So parents must be constantly aware of this. I, as a parent, I am laying a foundation for my children, and it is very, very important. I also need to consider the foundation that my parents have laid for me. Now, I was once a child too. I was under their stewardship. I was under their upbringing. And there were certain things that were put into me as a child that I now, as an adult, I have to look back and recognize and not really look back as in victimhood and say, well, see, I'm that way because my parents did that. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that whatever good or bad they put into me, I have to realize that's something that impacted me earlier in my life. This is part of me. I may need to do some serious adjusting. Now, just quickly, I'll tell you for me how this personally works. Some of you already know this, that my dad left me when I was about a year and 9 months old. And that had a significant impact. About a year later, my mom remarried, and she married a man that was my stepfather. It was a very, very distant stepfather. That upbringing, my child, you know, my father leaving me and then me being raised mostly by my mom because my dad just wasn't, my stepdad wasn't there, all of that impacted me, it actually touched in some unique ways the kind of self-esteem that I had then and even have today. I am impacted by that. I'm very fortunate that my Father in heaven says that I can overcome that. Amen? That God is my Father, and although I may not have had the best earthly father, I have a Father who deeply cares about me and thinks that I'm something. As I was growing up, that distant stepfather that didn't say, hey, I'm proud of you, I love you, but I have a Father in heaven says, I'm proud of you and I love you. So I'm impacted by that, my upbringing needs to be considered in all of this. Now I want to go on to this second thing, and that is the associations that we have with our peers. This is another important element that lays a foundation for the kind of attitudes that we will have as adults. Childhood friends serve as a model for living, and children will look to other children, and they will quickly take a snapshot of activity of another child, maybe in engaging with another child or an adult, and they will look at that attitude or whatever it is that the child is having, and they're going to take a photocopy of that. It's ingrained in their brain. And guess what? They will mimic that to some extent. It'll be part of who they are. They're watching other children, their peers that are around them. And there's a risk when a child looks to another child to become the adult one day that they want to be. Children are learning. And I want you to understand something. Children are learning. So if they're looking at other children, do you want your child, who is a learner, learning from another learner? Think about it. I'm saying that because I'm not trying to say, hey, we homeschooled our children, okay? So they were a little sheltered, shall we say. But what we're seeing is that the more that we say, let's just throw them to the wolves, we won't have any adult contact, we'll take our children and let them be raised by other children. Oh, that's a very dangerous proposition. I would suggest that we do let them play with our other children, engage with them, but we do surround them by some very positive influences, adult influences, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. But our kids will be kids approach to parenting has produced kids that are like other kids. They are disrespectful, they are dishonest kids, and they are influencing our kids as well. Perhaps you remember the passage in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15 where it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now I know that last part is a little abrasive, isn't it? We won't get into the disciplinary part of it. But the first part of that verse, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Recognize that as your children are having associations with other children. And if you see your child interacting with another child that has a bad attitude, what you need to do is deprogram your child. When the brat is gone that your child was watching and mimicking, deprogram, bring your child, say, that was not what you want to be. You don't have we still love the little kid over there, but that's not the kind of behavior that you want to model, and you want to continue to put good images in their mindset, in their attitude. So we need to be very careful about that. You see, the Bible says, and I have it on there, yeah, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, it says, he who walks with the wise will be what? He who walks with the wise will be wise. But what does it say? A companion of fools will be destroyed. Think about that. Which side of the coin do you want with your child on that? Do you want them walking with the wise, or do you want them walking with fools so that they can suffer destruction? It's a choice we make. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, do not be deceived. See, we're deceived by the devil. Oh, just let them, well, hang out with kids all the time. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. Even as adults, we must choose our companions as adults very carefully. Some of you know some adults that behave like children. Maybe you ought not spend so much time with those kids, those adults acting like children. Instead, be around wise, mature, growing, spiritually minded Christians. It's very important. We have to remember our attitude is at stake. So the question again is, do you want to soar like an eagle? Well, then you need to fly with the eagles, right? Makes perfect sense. All right, let's go on to talk about a third part of the foundation of our attitudes, and that is adult acceptance. Adults also lay attitude foundations for our young people today. You are turning over your child to a school teacher in the public school system. For an hour or more, you're turning them over to a Sunday school teacher here. They are maybe surrounded by a coach if they're playing Little League baseball, whatever it is. And these are adults that they are surrounded by often in life, other adults. And so we need to be careful with who we turn them over to. And maybe we need to do a little bit of monitoring with that, and as much as possible as parents, be in there to see what kind of attitudes and training they're getting from other adults. But adults have a huge impact on us. Now, I was a very impactful young 19-year-old, and I think I shared this last week. I hope I don't redouble up too much on this, but as a 19-year-old, I joined the Air Force, went into boot camp. And when I went into boot camp, boy, I tell you what, I was somebody that needed a lot of direction. I mean, I was just a 19-year-old, probably felt like a 12-year-old, but anyway, going through boot camp. And there was a guy, I'm trying to think his name, Sergeant Davis. And I remember he was all of about like 5'2" or something like that. But boy, he could yell and he could be mean and nasty and get right in your face. You know how that goes, right? In boot camp. And boy, he was mean to me the whole time. And you know, actually through all that experience, I wanted his approval. I wanted him to say, hey, you did a good job, you know. And so I thought, I put up with all this through boot camp. He was really mean. He was terrible, horrible, nasty all the time, you know. And then on the day when we were leaving our boot camp and going off to technical training school, we're all lined up. We're getting on the bus, and Sergeant Davis is in line, and you know he's at attention, and the other guys that are going before me that graduated from boot camp, they're shaking his hand. I got up there and I thought, this is the moment. Finally, Sergeant Davis is going to say, "Hey, you did good. You made it." You know, I stuck out my hand to shake his hand. He pulled his back and he says, "I couldn't do anything with you. I hope your technical training school can do something with you." And he walked away. And do you know, to this day, I see that face. I see the anger. I see that cutting remark. And it has shaped my self-esteem and my attitude today. Hopefully not in a very, very negative way, but it sits with me. Don't think I didn't forget that. When someone has said to me this or that and you did this negative thing, they can say 10 positive things and guess what? I'm going to remember the one negative thing. I'm going to remember just recently something happened to me that when something negative was said, that's going to stay with me for a while. That's going to be something that I'll have sleepless nights about, as I did last night. These things impact us. These adults that we're with, it's very impactful. I want to switch up a little bit here and talk about a young man named Timothy. Now, Timothy, we always think about Timothy, how he had Paul's adult mentoring. And he had the mother that he was raised by, who, by the way, was a Christian. And I'm trying to think now, was it the father that was the Jew or she was a Jew? I can't remember. But either way, he got some training, Timothy did, from his mom, Lois. But there was also another key figure. This is where I like to come in, you know, because in my house, I have my granddaughter living with me, you know. And so Timothy had another way good, shall I say it that way, adult peer in his life, and it was his grandmother. So let's read the text together. It says, Paul says to Timothy, he says, "Continue in the things which you've learned." He says, "Knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood," he's saying this to Timothy, he says, "Listen, from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures." Wouldn't you like to have an upbringing like that, where the Bible's always open in your house, mom and dad and grandma and grandpa too, reading the Bible? We have that in our home. I love that. Okay. He says that from childhood you've learned the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you what? Wise. You see, wise, that's a good attitude, being wise, right? Wise, he says, not just in this life, but for salvation. And then he goes earlier in the text, this is in 2 Timothy, a couple of chapters earlier, in chapter 1, he says to Timothy, he says, "I want to be filled with joy." He says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your," what did he say? "Grandmother." See, in my house with Bella, it's grandpa. "Your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice." And he says, "I'm also persuaded," what? "That it's in you. Your grandmother was there. Your grandmother played a part in helping you be the person you are today, Timothy. She instilled in you a foundation that you built upon that shaped the kind of attitudes that you have today as well." And so I really like the idea that we... can I just suggest this morning, young parents, that you put your children before more adults, okay? Especially grandma and grandpa. They get to hug and love them and then turn them back over to you, right? But anyway, you know how that works. Attitudes, though. Foundation, very, very important. Let's go on now to talk about a second part of the building or construction of your attitude. There's the foundation, but then there's also the building materials that you use. And I'm going to break this down. You'll see this in your outline onto your hearing, your seeing, and your feeling. And so there are things that you hear from other people. Okay? And that, again, I talked about that earlier. That's going to affect who you are. So Solomon gives this wisdom here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 21. He says, "Now do not take to heart everything that people say, lest you hear your servant," or even anyone else, "cursing you." He says, "For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others." Do you know what he's saying? He said, listen, we're all human. We say things we shouldn't say. We say things and we hurt other people's feelings. We say things and they take it in and it hurts them. And so he says, be careful with that. But he says also at the same time, if you're the recipient and you receive those hurtful words, he says at the same time, realize, guess what? You've said some things you shouldn't have said too. You've said negative things about others. So don't take it to heart too much. Don't take everything you hear and be wounded by it continually through life. You've heard the expression, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. Well, you know what? That's not true. It's true. It's what we would shoot for. It's the goal. We don't want words to hurt us, but guess what? They still do, don't they? So we need to be careful. And in our hearing, how we build our attitudes. We need to concentrate, I think, more on the positive that we hear. So if someone said 10 negative things and then 10 positive things and then one negative thing, can we just shift our focus as we are hearers of that negative thing over to the positive things that they've said? Maybe that will help us in using materials to build our attitude, our hearing. The second thing I want to bring out is our seeing. And this has to do with how we see ourselves. You know, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? So you are going to see certain things. They're going to enter into your heart. They're going to cause you to think you are who you are based upon what others may have said, what others may have done as you took it in. You saw these things happen. So, but then now also you have to say then, when that all that is said and done, what are you telling yourself about who you are? And what are you telling yourself about of who God has made you to be? I want to look at this psalm for just a minute. In Psalm 139, in verse 13 it says, and it's talking about God doing this. God, he says, you have formed my inward parts. He says, you've covered me in my mother's womb. And what does the psalmist say? He says, he's looking at the positive, I will praise you. He says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. You know, when others have said negative things, what we need to do is say, but what has God said about me? Even before he could look down in the chasm of time and see either the horrible adult that I would become or the wise and mature adult that I should be, God saw me as a baby and said, you're marvelous. You're wonderful. I'm fearfully, he says, and wonderfully made. Now, take God's approval there, will you? And take God's view of you and let that build your self-esteem. He says, my soul knows that very well. Does your soul know very well that God loves you? He cares about you. He thinks you're something special. Even before you were born, he saw that in your mother's womb. But your attitude about yourself dictates also your attitude about others. See, how you see yourself, guess what? It's how you're going to see others. Did you know that? That's why Jesus said, love your neighbor what? As yourself. You're going to love others better when you love yourself better. And I'm not talking about being prideful and boastful. I'm talking about having a good self-image of yourself based upon what God has said in His Word. Let's go on to a third part of this now. We talked about the hearing and the seeing. There's also your feeling. That is, how do you feel about others and things and circumstances in your life? The most predominant wrong attitude that we have toward others is anger. And when we are angry toward others, that feeling of anger, that's not wrong within itself, but it can all often lead to wrong behavior. It can cause us to treat others in a way that we should not treat them. And so we're flying in a nose down attitude. And because of that, we can anticipate a crash is coming. And we're going to talk more about that next week. But we need to adjust that attitude. And how do we do this? Well, let me put this in the context of marriage, because this is a thing when we're familiar with each other, we've got a history with each other, sometimes we get a little loose with our words, with our spouse, and we'd say something to them of a very hurtful nature because we know the history, we know it's going to push their buttons, right? We respect others that we're not as familiar with, but familiarity breeds contempt, right? So we get a little loose with our words with our spouse. But what we need to do is we need to stop picking at each other and stop holding on to grudges, and instead and not focus on our weaknesses, but we need to focus on our strengths as husband and wife. Very important. So here's this passage up here in Philippians 4:8. And this is what's going on inside our minds. He says, now whatever things are true, he says, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, he says, if there's anything, any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, these are the things you ought to meditate on. Meditate on the positive. And then you'll have a positive attitude. And let those things of a negative nature roll off of you and take in the positive in life. Finally, let's look at the third thing this morning. We've talked about the foundation. We've talked about the building materials. And now I want to talk about the labor that's involved in shaping our attitude. Can I say this morning? Don't let life limit you. You know, the devil is going to do that in your life. He's going to put certain things in your life that will try to limit you. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, again, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so people will limit us. Oh, that's the C student. Oh, he's the average runner. She's the plain child. And then when they say those things, we carry around a label everywhere we go. It's in our mind. That was what was said about me. I'll never be anything good, anything great. I'll just be normal, sometimes below normal, below average, because I'm just that plain child. I'm just that average runner. I'm just the C student who'll never make good grades in school. And so we walk around with those labels, and that shapes our attitudes in life. The world boxes us in, and it lays down parameters, trying to keep us in this box. But you are not the labels that other people put on you. You are who you want to be. You are who you tell yourself that you are. You, as a child of God, you are a transformer, not a conformer. What does it say here in Proverbs 12:2? Do not be, he's talking to you, child of God, do not be conformed to this world. Don't let them limit you. Don't follow their standards. Don't be conformed to this world, he says, but be transformed, what? By the renewing of your mind. That's the attitude. By the renewing of your mind, how are you going to do that? By in your life proving what God's perfect and good and acceptable will is. Look to the Scriptures. Follow God's plan for your life. Be a transformer, not a conformer. You are building your attitude. Don't let life limit you. Surge beyond life's limits through the power of God's Word. And finally this morning, you need to soar like the eagle that you are. Can I tell you about a very special eagle today? His name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ knew who He was. He knew His relationship with God. He was secure in that. That's why He could come down to this low ground. He knew who He was. He knew who His Father was. And that's why Paul writes this in Philippians chapter 2, or again in chapter 2, verse 5. He says, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God something he had to hold on to, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus could do that because he knew who he was. He knew who his Father was. He could humble himself. And therefore, it goes on to say in verse 9, all the way down to verse 11, it says, therefore God has highly exalted him. Jesus could soar like the eagle that he is and was. And you can do the same in your life today when you know who God is and you know who you are as a child of God before Him. You know, some of you might remember a guy named, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, Johnny Weissmuller. Does that sound about right? Back in the 1950s, he was shattering every swimming record that ever existed. I mean, lawyers and doctors and professionals were just amazed. He had set over 50 records in swimming. Amazing feat. Do you know that today, 13-year-old girls are beating his records today? Somebody told a 13-year-old girl and several of them, hey, listen, you're an eagle. You can fly. You can even be better than Johnny, what's his name? Johnny Weissmuller. But just remember that others are going to try to stop you. But you know what? They can only stop you temporarily. They can't stop you permanently. You know, have you ever seen at a circus? I love going to circuses. At a circus, they'll have an elephant there, huge adult elephant, and it will be tied down to a little tiny wooden stake, right? Do you know why that elephant that can lift over tons of weight doesn't break away from that little tiny wooden stake? It's because when they are babies, there's a thick iron, strong stake that is put to that baby, and the baby pulls, the baby elephant tries to get out, and after a while, guess what? He gives up. Okay? Don't let life limit you like that. God wants you to soar like the eagle that you are. You have become a child of God. Now, as we close this morning, I want us to think about our attitude again. Whatever the foundation that has been laid for you, you're not that elephant. You are not chained. You are free to soar like an eagle. And so I'm asking you today, what kind of attitude are you building in your life right now in Christ? And when I say in Christ, it's important because you see, the way that you're going to build the right kind of attitude that God wants you to have is, first of all, to be in Christ. Are you in Christ today? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? He died for your sins. God raised Him from the dead so you can soar like the eagle He wants you to be. He wants you to live abundant life through Him, but you've got to turn to Him for salvation. Believe that He died for you, that He rose again. Believe in God's Son, that He is the Son of God. And when you make that confession that you believe He's God's Son, if you bury your past in the waters of baptism, first repenting of your sins, then you're buried in the water of baptism, buried with Christ, raised with Christ to walk in a newness of life, and again soar like the eagle that God made you to be. This morning, if you're subject to the gospel call, we hope that you'll come forward. If you've regressed in your relationship with God and you need to come back and return, we admonish you also to respond to the invitation right now as we stand to sing.